Hello, and welcome to the Podcast of Steel. Here, I share news, reviews, my adventures, interviews, and more. You can always expect some Superman content from this show, but I'm a lover of all things geeky, so you never know what you're going to get. Now, let's leap into action with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel. It is time for another episode of the Podcast of Steel, and I'm joined today with another Superman fan from across the pond. Nick is here today to talk about his passion for Superman, and if you don't follow Nick online, you should. The links are all below. I absolutely adore Nick's persona online as a fantastic, positive, and open-minded Superman fan, and the world needs more of those fans, and that's why Nick is here today. Hello, sir.
Hello, Luke. Thank you so much for having me on. And yeah, they could find me at Nick Farina. We'll throw the surname on there. But it's a pleasure to be here, Luke. I've followed you for quite some time, and I've always admired what a wonderful fan you are and what a beacon of positivity you are. In sometimes the muddy pond of Superman or DC fandom.
Yeah, we'll scratch on that a little bit on this. I'm sure we've got some opinions about that as well. But yes, as I said, I love the things that you share and the interactions that you have with fans from all different walks of life, which is why I wanted to pick your brains on the podcast to just learn a bit more about you and what makes a Superman fan. So thank you for that, for coming on. And so if you could share your own origin story, as it were, where did it all begin for you, Nick?
Well, it began for me like it did for so many others. You know, I was born in 1985. So my first memories of Superman, you know, during those formative years were Christopher Reeve. You know, I unfortunately was not old enough to see any of the films in the theater, but I remember very clearly, you know, here in the States, it would often be Sunday night on Channel 7, like Superman the movie. And it would always be a big deal where everything would stop around that for me. But on top of the Christopher Reeve legacy, one of my first memories is watching the Ruby Spears TV cartoon series on Saturday mornings during the fall of 1988. So some of my earliest memories revolve around Superman. And of course, you know, while I was a bit young for the superpowers line, when the DC Comics line by Toy Biz came out in 1989, I remember at Christmas morning getting that Superman with the cloth cape and the kryptonite ring. So it just, those benchmarks are what really instilled Superman in me. So by the time the death of Superman came a couple years later, I was already a massive fan. And I'll never forget. It'll make me sound really cool, but walking out of piano lessons when I was 8 years old, there was adjacent the building was a comic shop. And in the comic shop window, featured prominently was the trade paperback of The Death of Superman, that famous John Bogdanov cover where Lois is cradling a bloody and dying Superman. And for someone who was too young to experience, like, be in a comic shop and experience, you know, that November 1992 day in real time, that's what stopped me in my tracks. Because the first thing a young Superman fan asks is what could possibly make Superman a bloody mess? Not just kill him with kryptonite, but, you know, dying in Lois's arms. So I had to know. So that was the special moment where I began following Superman comic books for the first time. Instead of just, you know, buying a comic at the shop and admiring it for the pictures, I was really following the story throughout the return. And I was just on time for Adventures of Superman number 500, the famous issue that launched the four Supermen. And from then on, the rest is history, as they say.
It's a fantastic introduction into all of that, Superman. As I'm moving my props around here on my table, you've probably seen a few already. But yes, that fateful story, as you said, the death and return of Superman, one of my favorites. Now, this story, like you, it was my introduction to Superman. So I came into Superman pretty much late in the game. It wasn't, I am an 80s baby.
But for me, my origin story when learning to love Superman came from Smallville. It was on one fateful day many, many moons ago. And once season one finished here in the UK, we didn't know who we were going to get another season. So I wanted to learn more about this character that I'd grown to love and adore through the show. Mm-hmm. And friends said, when I asked for recommendations, oh, you've got to read, you know, if you want to get into Superman, read The Death of Superman. I'm like, well, I want to know about the hero. I don't want to know about his death. But that story is one that has... grips me every time I start to read it or enjoy it or look at that artwork. And for you to be such a fan of that as well, it says a lot, because it is such an impactful story, one that still is talked about to this day, and new stories still pick it up. It was an epic moment. What was it like for you sort of reading those comics when they were each coming out, each new issue, waiting to see how this story grew?
Well, you know, at the time, you know, this story, it's so well-trod at this point, that, you know, this the story of the death and return of Superman. But as it was happening in real time, you know, what I really recall is it's changing nearly day to day who my favorite of the four Supermen was, between Superboy, the Eradicator, Steel, the Cyborg Superman. And I have to say, it could have been the Terminator 2 craze that was still ongoing at the time, but I like that Cyborg Superman.
All those those colors and those wires coming out.
That's gosh.
It was perfect 90s sci-fi.
And boy, oh boy, did I pick the wrong horse. But, you know, the thing is, in that moment in Superman 80, when he, surprise attacks the Eradicator in such a brutal way, and then takes the lives of millions of people in Coast City down below, it made the moment as a young fan just, you know, heartbreaking. But at the same time, it's just like, okay, obviously not Superman. What happens now?
Yeah.
And so that carried on, I feel like, throughout the reign of the Superman, up to Superman 82, when the real guy came back in black.
Cool.
And revealed himself as the one true Superman. I feel like that, not knowing what's going to happen next, you know, really made it a classic story. And isn't it remarkable how kind history has been to it, and how often DC goes back to the well of the death of Superman? And I don't think it's supernatural. I think there's a reason. I think they really caught lightning in a bottle with that story in particular. And it's what makes it special. And it's what makes it, you know, I often say the way that we talk about Greek heroes, you know, thousands of years after the ancient Greeks started telling these stories, I feel like in 1500 years, they'll be telling the story of the death of Superman. That just may be me waxing poetic, but I feel like it's a real possibility that the story, the mythology behind Superman, especially with the death and return, it's going to carry on, and history will continue to be kind.
I think you're not far off. That it's a possibility. You know, it's a character that has been around now since, you know, 1938. We're getting there, and the concept and the idea of superheroes. And he was number one. He's been there. He's been around. He's still a talking point today, both the good and the bad. So. I think when it comes to centuries away, when people are talking about pop culture and what us humans like to enjoy back then, yeah, Superman and the death of Superman, it's going to be one of those ones that gets picked up and taught in schools, wherever those schools are, whether on Mars or somewhere else off in the planet, who knows? But as long as people are talking about Superman, I'm happy. My hero is still relevant. His stories are still being told. And in that same light, he will have people to be inspired to write more stories and to relive old stories. As a fan, I'm still finding stories that I've not yet enjoyed. There are so many books out there and cartoons and radio plays to get an idea of what this hero means to us all. And much like you, it's just something that I enjoy doing, getting lost in a comic or lost in a cartoon. What is it that Superman brings to your life, though? What does he do to you that other heroes don't?
You know, at the end of the day, the reason we do this is it's fun. You know, it, for me, it's just Superman is the subject of Superman collecting all these silly figures that my wife rolls her eyes at every time a new one comes in. It's fun, you know, and Superman, by definition, I feel like is a character, a man-made character that Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster blessed us with. And it's what would happen if someone with the ultimate power, who could take over, who could do anything, decides, makes the personal decision to use that power to serve mankind as Superman, under the alias Superman. I feel like it's such a human story, you know, because it tells us, okay, if the dream of achieving great power becomes real for us, how then will you use that power? Will you use it to serve yourself, or will you be Superman and use it to serve others? And it's the best that we could aspire to be. So I think, you know, boiled down, that's the appeal of Superman. When you really think of it, what makes someone become a fan and want to follow the character, I think it's that aspiring to do good, you know, the best way you know how, with the gifts you've been given. So that's the appeal for me.
That's beautifully put. That's beautifully put. I think when we start talking about these characters that mean a lot to us, it's when we start to really express how we feel about these, again, fictional characters that mean something to us. And when I've said this before, a light turns on inside of us when we talk about these things that bring us joy. And like you, Superman is one of those things, as you know, you can tell that Superman's items are all around me, much like your collection that I've adored seeing online. And if we could talk a little bit about that today, I'd be very, very happy, because I adore how you have displayed some of those comics you've just been talking about. The Death of Superman comics, the way that you put this on your wall, I'm assuming it's a wall somewhere in your house. I love that.
If I turn my desk a little bit, you can see it right there.
A sneak peek. Look at that.
There's better pictures online, but that's it right there. Well, my collection, I feel like for me, like it is for so many, it's my journey as a Superman fan. Going back to when I was a kid, like I showed you earlier, Luke, I keep this right here just to remind myself during this conversation why we do this. For at the end of the day, it's just to be near items that make you happy. And if you can't see right now, I'm holding up my graded superpowers Superman. Into the camera. So that's my collection. It's very much my journey. So the figures I have, it's often wanting to like recapture a moment in time for Superman, whether it's the superpowers figure or the DC, you know, comics figures from the 80s. And then if you get into my comic collection, it's all around like where John Byrne started in the mid 80s, which is very much my Superman. You know, everyone has their Superman. Yeah. Mine begins with John Byrne. Because John Byrne famously relaunched the DC universe, or the Superman universe rather, in 1986, bringing him squarely into, you know, 1980s Reagan's America.
Yes, big hair, big shoulders.
where basically Lex Luthor is kind of like a Donald Trump type, like Wall Street guy, like a well-known person, like Donald Trump with kryptonite in the mid 80s. And, you know, bringing Superman squarely into that world. And I feel like he did such a tremendous job of building what would ultimately become like the universe that I would come to adore, both as a young man and a man. So my comic collection basically collects volumes of that going forward. And then I have little goodies, you know, toys that came out along the way. When 1995, when, you know, to show once again how impactful the Death of Superman series was, it launched its own Superman toy line by Kenner. in 1995, you could actually go out and buy Doomsday. You know, I remember seeing that, not knowing it was coming, but going into the toy store and seeing that line of Superman S's on the shelf. For a then 10-year-old boy in 1995, that was everything. So my collection very much tells the story of my journey as a fan.
And that's what's sometimes not always the best thing. It's a story, as you said, that keeps on being celebrated with anniversaries and new milestones. And they're bringing out reprints, they're bringing out more figurines, they're bringing out more duplicates. It's like, well, I've already got the original, but do I need yet another reprint? I think I do.
Oh, that Triangle Era omnibus that's coming out in September.
Ooh.
I have a good chunk of those issues, but I that famously will collect the first story, not the first story of the Eradicator, but the first story where the Eradicator manifests himself in a body and battles Superman for the first time. That's going to be in that omnibus. So I'm shelling out that $100 American for that. They got me hook, line, and sinker.
I think, yeah, sometimes we don't want to miss out on certain issues, and that's the fun part about being a collector. And again, some comics to me was something that I didn't have growing up. We didn't have many comic shops here in the UK. There were few and far between. There are more now showing up, which is fantastic, but at the time it was difficult to find comics. And I'm so thankful now that I can go online, or I can go to my local comic shop and go through those bargain bins and find one of those items that is missing from my collection, or one that just I didn't know about before just springs into my life. Are there any issues apart from those fateful issue number one comics that you want in your collection one day?
Oh man. I mean there's so many. You asked what was
Sort of,
other than the number
other
ones.
than number one, what sort of comics would you, Superman comics, would you like to have in your collection that you've not got already?
Oh goodness. I would like to have the full John Byrne Man of Steel series, like the original issues collected in mint condition. Those would be really cool to have. And I believe they're especially on eBay, pretty readily available. It's just been something that I haven't pulled the trigger on, but I would absolutely want to see those and collected. I recently got the Dark Knight Returns miniseries and the original, how they gave the miniseries the trade paperback treatment, issues 1 through 4. And it's one of the reasons I haven't really embraced digital comics. Even though so many people get so, and it's only getting, more and more advanced. But for me, it's the nostalgia of feeling something tangible in your hands, and the feel of the pages, and the smell of like the way the print that they were using. It's a whole experience for me. So to get those issues would be really, really cool because again, it's like you're peeking through the crack of the door of 1986, a moment in time. Where you can actually, feel them the way that they were intended to be released in real time when John Byrne released that series over the summer.
So one of those, the more unique things I love about classic comics is the adverts inside them. It's something,
Oh,
it's normally for
yes.
products that we would never have gotten in the UK, and sort of collect all these tokens, and you can sort of add these to your collection. I'm thinking, if I had a time machine, not only would I go back and get as many issues of Action Comics number one, I would also go back to these decades in normally the 70s, when you could get some really niche Superman t-shirts for like a dollar. Just designs that you can't find anymore. And
Yeah.
that's what I love about flicking through the pages of older comics. It's, as you said, it's that nostalgia feeling of, it can take you back to that day when you were sitting down after your piano lessons
Yeah.
and getting lost in those stories and enjoying those comics. I love that.
It's funny you say that. I finally found a Christopher Reeve Superman t-shirt. It's like kind of like a long sleeve like I'm wearing right now. We call these baseball
Baseball shirts,
t-shirts here.
yes.
Or raglans, I think is the other
Okay.
word for it. Of the original Christopher Reeve style Superman S, but with like the baby blue that like that Reeve
Ooh.
actually had over that, and that if I had it already, believe me, I'd be wearing it right now. proudly. But I can't remember the last time I've been so excited for a t-shirt. But again, it's like you were saying, just, you know, you can go to any old, you know, chain store and buy a t-shirt of, like, you know, the trademark Superman S. And I feel a little bit silly. I adore Superman, but still, like, there's something so corporate about that corporate Superman S where I kind of shy away from it as far as t-shirts are concerned. But this one, I'll be out there walking down the streets of Chicago. That's taking compliments.
But that's the thing, there's so many more than just your classic Superman S now. There are your Man of Steels, there are sort of, yep, changing that logo, as we have seen, and we will get onto James Gunn's Superman in a moment. But what's it been like for you over the years as a Superman fan? How have you seen fans evolve as Superman has?
You know, it's always been divisive. To a degree, you know, going back to when Superman Returns came, you know, a movie which, when it came out, you know, I love. I think I saw it 5 or 6 times in the theater, which for me is a lot. And certainly no movie that came before it had I paid that kind of attention to. But I remember the atmosphere in the forums online back then. You know, this is pre-Twitter. Pre-social media, really. This is during the early days of Facebook, but before the baby boomers took it over. But I remember it was divisive. Even though the movie got largely positive reviews, a lot of people lobbed a lot of criticism on it. Some valid, you know, now that we've achieved hindsight and it's behind us, there's things about that film that I love, and there's things about it that I feel like are kind of on-the-nose decisions that they should have not went with. But I remember, it's always been, since they've been making Superman movies in my adult life, it's always seemed divisive to me. And, you know, Man of Steel, as much as I, again, adore that movie, didn't do anything to really unite people. If anything, it was, once again, you know, the people, you know, who I wish had turned out for Superman Returns, because as much as the criticism they lobbed at Man of Steel for not being Superman Returns, where were they? Because they weren't buying tickets. They weren't buying tickets in the summer of 2006. But, you know, it's always been divisive. And then, you know, I'm fast forwarding in time. You go up to the Snyder Cut movement, which I was all in for, like, as it was happening. You know, because we really felt like that portion of the fans, we felt like underdogs.
Yeah.
And it felt like, you know, the people who, before it was announced, were often punching down on us. And it felt like, you know, you were doing the right thing. But then when it finally came out, it felt like, you know, and this is all I have is my personal opinion. This is just how I feel. But once the Snyder Cut came out, which I have to say is one of my top 5 DC movies of all time. I love Zack Snyder's Justice League. Let me just get that out there. Before I say, it feels like once that was released and what should have been just a really triumphant, wonderful moment for the fans, it felt like almost overnight it became something else. And now like the entitlement that now that we had been given the Snyder Cut, what's going to come next, you know, when it became Restore the Snyderverse, it didn't feel like we were the underdogs anymore. And slowly but surely over time, I saw a lot of bullying from that, you know, portion of fandom towards other people. And now that James Gunn, you know, is releasing his movie, it's gotten ugly. It's gotten a bit ugly to the point where if I were to post something positive about Superman 2025, I feel like 75% of the posts, for whatever reason, would be largely negative, or like lobbing things, or like retweeting to another subset of fans so they can chime in with their negativity. And it's become unfortunate, because I feel like, you know, you would not want the same writer, even a writer that you adore, writing every single Superman issue until the end of time. Like, I love Dan Jurgens and Frank Miller. Do I think Frank Miller should write every Batman story? No. Do I think Dan Jurgens should get a break from doing Superman from time to time? Yes, as long as he's coming back. No. I'm joking. But I just love Dan Jurgens.
Yes.
So anything from him is always welcome. But the same goes for the movies. You know, and you touched on it a bit earlier when you said very wisely that, you know, there's things yet to come that are going to, like, you know, stoke the fires of your fandom in the universe of Superman. And I feel like this is another person's, this is how another Hollywood director with a proven track record views Superman. And I'm excited for that. And I can't wait for to see James Gunn's Superman 2025. Because guess what? In 10 years, he's going to be handing it off to somebody else. And that's assuming it goes well and they get a few movies. It's you can't hitch yourself to any one Superman wagon because it's going to lead to disappointment. And I feel like a lot of people have doubled down on their disappointment. And that's unfortunate to see.
Yeah, it's not necessarily.
Sorry, that was a lot.
No, it was not a lot. It was wonderfully put, beautifully put. Again, it's everyone's opinion is their own, and I can see the good and the bad when being a Superman fan. As the saying goes, this is not our first rodeo. We've sure. been around. We've seen directors and writers and films not even be made, but have the concept out there. So we already have that version of Superman in our mind, whether it be Kevin Smith's or somebody else's creation or variation on our hero. We have ties, we have emotional connections to this fictional character. So we want to see them do well. And what I love is the fact that, as you said, in 10 years' time or 15 years' time, he could be handed down to somebody else. But that's the hero that we've grown to love. As long as Superman's stories are still being told, I'm happy because my hero is still relevant. There's going to be more things to collect. There's going to be new things to read. There's going to be new ways to embrace the things that bring us joy. So I'm excited as well for James Gunn's future. We've seen a little bit online. We've seen what James Gunn thinks about Superman. He shared some fantastic insight into comics and stories and what we should be reading and what could be influenced in the film. But what were your thoughts when James Gunn was announced as you know, the big man at DC and that this Superman film was going to be his? How did you feel?
Well, truthfully, you know, I really want to be able to dance around how awkward it was when Henry Cavill was let go, but it was hard to ignore at the time. It felt strange. It felt a little bit ugly that he had to go back on and kind of, you know, excuse the language, but show his ass a little bit. And when he had to write that post about how he, after he had made that big announcement, he had to come back on his social media and say, "Hey guys, I just had a meeting with James Gunn. Fortunately, it's not great news." And he had to give that. And that felt unfair to Henry Cavill, who's been, you know, whenever he talks about Superman, you talk about waxing poetic about Superman. No one did that more when he was part of his life than Henry Cavill. He really felt like one of us. And when he would say, talk about, like, whether it was Superman or Tomorrow, or he was into Rebirth as it was happening, you believed him. And oftentimes, like, he'd mention it to an interviewer and they just have like a blank look on their face because they didn't know. But it just shows, I've been there, you know, when I'm out to dinner with some friends and I start talking about Superman somehow. But he was one of us. So when that happened, And it was subsequently announced that James Gunn's project would be Superman, I was a little bit concerned, truth be told, because there was fandom, again, as many people know, has been divided for a while. So I was concerned that it would basically, his Superman film would be a rebuke, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, of Snyder's Superman. And it would be kind of like an answer to, okay, this is everything that's like kind of like, you know, the word I used on Axe Twitter was an amalgamation, like, you know, and a boiling up of all the criticisms of Snyder's Superman and how Henry Cavill depicted him, rather than being an earnest film done by people who genuinely love Superman. I was concerned that we'd be getting kind of like, you know, a caricature of Superman. I remember early on he said, oh, well, yeah, Superman, he's a big galoot. And I know what he's referencing. He's kind of referencing the way that Clark Kent was portrayed in All-Star Superman, which I love. But that's one depiction of him. It's like, well, no, is he can have gravitas sometimes. He can, you know, and it made me concerned that it's okay. You know, I know James Gunn can write a funny movie. I know. I've seen it many times. But I haven't seen anything from him that's like, you know, Superman levels of drama. So I think that early on, I was concerned that it would just basically be, you know, a parody. But everything I've seen since and everything he's posted since, much of it in recent history, like this, just in recent months, he really seems to be celebrating the character of Superman, and he seems to be going all in. And I don't think that he would do that unless he was genuine about it, because he could do any project he wants. So when you think about it, you know, as a Superman nerd, my fears were quelled once I really kind of looked at everything. So where I am right now is excited. Excited because it just frankly it takes more energy to be negative about yes, something.
I get that.
It's so much more fun to be excited. So I've really made it a choice to be, like, you know, excited and supportive of this movie moving forward, because I love Superman, and I want this movie to be a home run, and I want the reception to be, okay, this is the Superman for this new generation. Because I want them to have that, because I feel like every generation needs a Superman. So, you know, and we need to be rooting for Superman, not a particular director's vision of Superman, but Superman. It's a lot more fun that way.
It's, and that's it. I've always said that, like, who's your favorite? Is it Reeve? Is it Cavill? Is it Ruth? Is it Welling? End of the day, I'm Team Superman. I'm going to support the S, not the person that's wearing it. But I have days when one actor or even voice actor I would favor over another, but it's still Superman at the bottom line. Superman is still the person, the character, the spirit, you know, the mythology that makes me smile, that makes me want to be a better human, that makes me want to be the best person I can be. And yeah, I had those doubts when we first had the news about James Gunn, but as the time has progressed, we've seen what he shared. We've heard his thoughts on certain comics and certain characters. And I've seen a slight improvement in the positivity on his posts. There will always be negativity. There will always be some comments that are out there just to cause a bit of drama. But I'm seeing more excitement for this character. I'm seeing more excitement for this movie. And as you said, it's less work to be positive. To be negative, it takes so much more energy, and to use that energy for good by being excited to learning more about the character, I'm all for it, which is why I'm all for James Gunn's approach, which is why you've been the perfect guest so far talking about this, as I knew you would be. Been sharing your opinions online, the good and the bad, and some of your posts have gone very, very popular. And I love that every now and again I will be on my feed and there will be just people talking so positively and passionately about Superman. And you're a great voice in the community, and I want you to keep doing that for as long as you possibly can. Back to your items, your collection. How does one go about getting a toy graded? You've mentioned your figurine that you've got graded there. How did that come to be?
I cut a corner. I saw it on I love eBay for Superman.
Oh, it's
cool. And I found this graded. But to get it graded, there's a submission process.
Okay.
And now, you know, it's amazing to me the amount of things that can be graded now. You know, when I first started collecting graded issues, graded comic book issues, that's all that could be graded. There was some talk that down the line, CGC is like the McDonald's. It's the number one of the graded companies. And there was some talk that they were going to start doing graded cards. And, you know, that was one of my favorite things to do. One of the things I adore about 90s comic book culture were the trading cards, the Death and Return of Superman cards. I even dabbled in Marvel Masterpieces for a while just because they were just so cool looking. Got to give them props for those Marvel Masterpieces. But they started doing that. But now it's everything. You can get toys that are like on the card, still in the box graded. You can get, this one's, as they say, the Superman that I have here is loose. So it's outside the box, but it's still graded mint. So whoever took it out of the box took very good care of it.
Yes.
Before it was graded. But now you can get VHS graded.
I've seen that. Yeah. Sort of this is, it's a bit of a chunky box as well to have the VHS in. I mean, which is fun. I mean, I've got a few Superman VHS, but I've loved seeing yours on display. They just look majestic in their correct order. They look fantastic.
You know, for me, that just, it takes me back to a moment in time. Every once in a while, I'll just take them out for me and put them on that shelf and look at it, because it brings me back to, you know, being 7, 8, 9 years old and going into the video rental store and seeing them lined up on the shelf in order, just like that. My parents didn't have very much money growing up. So it was just, I never owned the VHS myself. That's why, as I said before, it would be such a big deal when a Superman film was like on primetime TV. As I said before, trying to recapture just those moments in time.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of my collection has to do with, and feeling that happiness.
And there's something,
hopefulness.
Yeah. It is. And there's something sort of very calming when you hear the sound of a VHS box open up. DVDs and Blu-rays are fantastic. I am all for physical media, but the chunky VHS boxes, they were hefty. They meant something back then. Whereas now it's still good that things are still being made, as I have another here, just by example. Things like this, as you may be able to see, I'm holding
Max
up.
Max Fleischer. I adore Max Fleischer.
Now, these are being remastered more and more each and every year. But that, for me, these are something that I've had on VHS and DVD over the years. But this one came into my collection recently, and it's just a joy to watch and enjoy and get lost in. And when you think about the work and detail that went into that show,
it's
phenomenal.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons that we've seen the Max Fleischer cartoons endure and, you know, go through these remasterings, because people can see what they did there. I mean, the budgets that animation studios were given at that time was exorbitant. And so they are literal works of art. So I think, you know, we're going to continue to see those. And there's a reason you look at them now. And this was 1941 when these were released. And they look beautiful still. And I think that's a testament to the work and that the artists put into those.
I mean, they're being remastered, which is great. But the fact is, the work was there originally. The art was there, the coloring, the lighting and the shadows. I think I watched a few of the episodes just on loop, because I wanted to just go back and watch them in all their glory. And it's a fantastic, fantastic series to enjoy. But it's things like that. It's 1941. Decades later, we're still talking about Superman. And as you said, I think in decades into the future, we will still be talking about Superman.
Certainly.
It's fantastic. And you, as I said, I keep going back, you are sharing some fantastic images and collections online of yours, and found images as well. And recently you shared a photograph of this wonderful looking fellow.
Hamilton Toys.
Yes. Now this was a gift for me many, many years ago, and it's been loved. It's been well played with over the years, but it was just a fantastic pose, an interesting look. And I love the fact that, you know, the fabric on the back of a Superman toy was something you could actually, when running around with it, you would see it flow in the wind. But it's just such a funny looking figure. And I love it.
If you If you look behind the cape, you'll see very clearly 1988.
Yes.
So for being that old, I'd say it's been taken care of pretty well.
But again, this one is not getting graded. This one stays out on, you know,
just for you.
I won't be taking this to James Gunn's Superman premiere, but it'll be there on my lap. You know, he'll be there in spirit. But it's items like that and little things that bring us joy. And I've got another little item here. It's things getting remade for a new generation of fans that were there when they had this toy growing up and maybe have given it away, or their mums have done that fateful thing where they've thrown their old childhood toys away or given them to a school. But it's little items like that that are being remade now. And I think that's something, as you said, we're going to see more of in the future. It's nostalgia.
You know, when they were released, they were the, you know, especially when you talk about like the superpowers or those Mego toys in the 70s that came out, there were no Superman figures before then. So I really think there's something to be said for re-experiencing them in the ways that they were initially released. So to see that, it's so great. And to McFarlane's credit, they did that with the superpowers line that they released. Mm-hmm. I guess as close as they can be to the originals.
Yes.
But yeah, I love that we're seeing that.
And it's fantastic. Well, as you know, there's things all around me. It makes people getting Christmas gifts for me very easy. Because around Christmas time and my birthday, I'm not allowed to order anything online. Because if there's something Superman related, a friend or a family member say, I've got you something, but you might already have it. And I said, well, that's fine. If I have, don't worry, we'll send it back. But it's getting those gifts that are a surprise item that I wouldn't have thought about adding to my collection. And I think that's one of those, probably like yourself, being a Superman fan, you get those gifts that are a surprise, and that's always something to get. But you've been online doing your thing for quite some time now. What have been some of your favorite or most interacted with posts?
Oh, you know, I did a post where I asked everyone to, and this was kind of because I rarely do this, where I say, hey, post your favorite or whatever it is. But I asked everyone to post their favorite comic book pan. And just, or not necessarily favorite, but most impactful, where it kind of just lives in, like when you think of, like, you know, Batman or Superman or whoever, it lives in your mind rent free. And the responses I got, this chain went on for days, where I was just getting constant updates of people putting like their favorite comic book panels, it was the descriptions and the why behind the reasons they were impactful, and a lot of them were very surprising. But it was really nice, because I feel like when you give people a chance to tell you a little bit about them, that it's an attractive thing to get people to respond to, and you learn so much, and people surprise you. And you learn things. And there were so many comics, you know, like I never experienced Sandman. And that's one that so many people posted, where it just got me, where I had to, okay, let me buy the first volume, the 1989 first volume of that, and just to see. And I did. And just to be able to experience things, just because you see that they mean a lot to other people and that they've been impactful. So that was one in particular. But whenever I, you know, something new happens, like I was hoping before we did this particular podcast, that James Gunn would release a full image.
Wouldn't it be perfect?
So we can go on. I was sure that we'd get it by the end of April. But you know, I think what he's doing is very smart. He's dropping these little breadcrumbs, because they're going to be filming this through July.
Yes.
And I feel like, you know, that's one thing that I'm looking forward to interacting with people about. Mm. Once they do that full reveal, because we still don't know if the trunks, if the undies are there. We don't know yet.
Oh, what are your thoughts on that whilst we're on that subject?
Oh, you know, if I had to choose, I would go with the undies. Because, you know, I feel like what Zack Snyder did so well, and it was something that before Man of Steel I had always wanted to see, was like the Dark Knight approach to Superman. Like, what would be the real world's response if an alien was flying through the sky? And the suit I feel like that Henry Cavill got was perfectly suited to that real world approach to this alien garb. But now we've seen it, and we've seen it done well. So give me something on the opposite side of the pole now, and that would be with the trunks. You know, Superman doesn't need to look cool. He needs to look like Superman.
There you go.
And I feel like this is a good opportunity. I don't know. We haven't seen it yet, but I feel like this is a very good opportunity to reintroduce a more stick-to-your-ribs Superman costume back to the world.
And that's what you said. He is dropping those breadcrumbs. He knows how to not only market a film, but market to an audience of both new and old fans of comics. So he will hit you with a very niche villain or character or storyline, and then he'll put something out there that could be cryptic. He does interact with the fans a fair bit when he has his downtime, and I'm sure he gets a lot of enjoyment out of that, but sometimes it can be the responses can be a bit unforgiving.
I think his approach, and as well as his approach to Guardians, was give people something they didn't know they wanted. And I feel like from what we've seen of the Metamorpho and just like these C, D list villains, I feel like he's going to have a lot of fun with us, and his approach is going to be to Superman is going to be give him something they didn't know they wanted. But when they see the movie, everything comes together in context perfectly. So that's what I'm, you know, if I were to be positive, that's what I think he's doing. And I want to be positive.
That's it. I'm ready for that full reveal. We've seen some of their emblem now with a few little snowflakes on there, possibly hinting at a Fortress of Solitude scene, but it's exciting. It's always fun to be a Superman fan. No day is the same. No fan interaction is the same. But it's when we get those posts from James Gunn, when I get those notifications going off, or what's he doing now? Or what have I missed? What's next? It's creating a lot of buzz. And I like that around, you know, those aspects of it. But yeah, we don't know what emblem we're going to get or what costume, if there's going to be multiple costumes. There's rumors everywhere, but I just love that people are talking about Superman.
So Luke, how do you feel about the Kingdom Come emblem being used? What are your thoughts in that arena?
When I first picked up Kingdom Come, I picked up a collection. I had to finish it. I was just lost in the artwork, in the story. I could feel this story being told to me. A lot like a lot of the characters in the story, I was taken on that journey, and I had to know where it was going to end. And that Kingdom Come logo is a fantastic known logo. I'm happy it's being used. Don't get me wrong. I'm a fan of all the many, many S's that have been there over the years. No matter what they stand for, no matter what interpretation the creator wants to give to it. But this new shape combined with possibly a classic look, that red, yellow, and blue, it's interesting. I've been fortunate enough to see a few of the Superman costumes in person, normally behind lots of very thick glass. In one situation, yeah. I went to there was a superhero celebration in London a few years ago where they had lots of costumes from Returns and Superman and Man of Steel. And I went there far too many times. I went there just to sort of, if I was in London for anything, I would find time to get there a bit earlier to go and look at these costumes, to see these screen-worn suits. And to feel their power. There was one moment where there were lots of fingerprints over the glass, and me being a glasses wearer, I always travel with a cloth for cleaning my glasses. So I've got a picture of me. Somebody else took. I was taking the fingerprints off this glass case because I needed these suits to be respected. But getting up close, you could see the imperfections. You could see the details.
And it's like visiting the Vatican.
This was my Dollywood. This was, you know, and I was, and you could see the attention to detail. And I can't wait until we get an image of this official suit, because yes, I think we've all zoomed into James Gunn's post and seen that there is some texture to this new logo, but that Kingdom Come
logo,
it looks big, and I like
that. If you look at that, the way Alex Ross often, like, you know, draws, like, where it takes up his almost his whole torso. If you look at that photo, I think it's going to be a very large on the torso ass. And I like that.
And I do like it. I like it. I want it. If it's going to be shown, show it off.
Sure. And
Alex Ross, I love following Alex Ross online. He's always sharing, like, iconic images. Normally, it's the same images over and over again, bless him. I'd love to see some fresh Superman work. But it always seems to link up with what James Gunn's posting at the time. I'm thinking there's got to be a link there. I'm getting the old red string out, trying to connect the images together to see what they're both thinking about. But that particular Kingdom Come logo is an iconic logo with an iconic storyline behind it. Are we getting elements of that story in the film? Or is that something that James Gunn's thinking about for the future of this franchise? We don't know, but what is fun is that people are talking about it. Don't get me wrong, I would love to see a classic S. I want to see those curves. I want to see those different curves, but
there's something about it.
It's something about it. It is. And each time it changes, but only a few days ago, James Gunn posted the very first Superman emblem, just a post of that. And there's like, so why is he doing that for? Why is he taking the time to do that?
I saw that. I don't know.
And it's exciting.
I wonder if that could be used, you know, similarly to what Superman and Lois did, where we got flashbacks where he was in the Fleischer costume. I wonder if perhaps there's a flashback sequence where that was the initial S. You know,
it was originally called Superman Legacy, so who knows? But for me, you know, I don't want to be that person that has a complete fan theory for a film, because I have those thoughts. I've got them in my phone locked away to tick off when the film comes out. But if somehow Ma Kent could be involved in the creation of his suit, because I've always loved that element in Superman storytelling, that it's his mum making him his suit and giving him, you know, dressing him, getting him ready for school or work or to go off and save the world. She's there helping him with his costume. I've always thought that was an adorable, adorable side story. And if that gets featured or Don just Byrne. Referenced, yeah. Yes, it. If it's referenced in the film, I would be very warm and cuddly.
that's another thing I saw. You know, I think the lamest critique I've ever seen lobbed at a movie was someone putting up a picture, and it was an older picture of Diane Lane. It wasn't next to this new actress who's an older actress playing Martha Kent, and saying, can you name a bigger downgrade in movie history? It's like, have you ever read a Superman comic and seen what Martha, because and don't get me wrong, I love Diane Lane's Martha Kent, but it wasn't, that was a Zack Snyder choice to make her an attractive Martha. Normally, that is not how Martha Kent is depicted. So it's I'm excited. And like I said before, James Gunn, often there's a method to the madness. And I feel like when this movie comes out, I feel like when we get a trailer and we get a little bit of the, okay, this is the vibe he's going for, it, everything's going to start making sense. So
it's going to be fun. And I think on another podcast in the future, we can get you back on just that. We can just fan theorize this film and where it's going to go and what
we can do this all day, Luke.
We can. And that's the thing. And I love that about this. I knew you were going to be a great guest to speak to and just a great human to speak with. And I'm very happy about that. We've touched on a lot today, that I'm very grateful for your time. I've loved hearing your thoughts on Superman. I love seeing your posts online. I love just seeing that interaction, a positive interaction in sometimes a sea that is often filled with negativity. I tend to block those ones out. I try to push them away and not interact with them. But even with sometimes the negativity that I see on your feeds, it's still balanced with reason, and you listen to people's thoughts. You respect their opinions, and there's an open communication with fans from around the world talking about the characters that we love. So thank you for that. I would like to thank you for that, because it means a lot to see that on my feed.
Well, you as well, Luke. We should form some kind of league.
Oh, that's a little segue to something else. I like that.
Positive Superman League.
I like that.
It's been an absolute joy talking with you, Luke. This is my favorite subject, and I'm glad to again wax poetic about Superman with you.
And there will be a link to your page in this podcast if people aren't following.
Wonderful.
You. But my final question for you today, and one that I've been itching to ask you from the moment you said yes to being a guest on the show, is: what does Superman mean to you?
You know, I touched on this a little bit earlier, but I think it means, you know, and it changes as I age, as I get older, as I experience life. And now that I'm, you know, a father of two young boys, Superman means doing the best you can with what you have. Being a good man to the best of your abilities with what you've been given in life, and making the choice to be that person. Just like Superman, who could do anything he wanted with his powers, uses it to serve others. And that's such an inspiration to me. And it continues to be. And I look forward to seeing Superman celebrated through different mediums, through different storytellers. And I think that's so important that we get those perspectives and that we learn what Superman means to each other, you know, as fans. And if someone's making a movie, I have to think that they're a fan. So I'm looking forward to that too.
I've said this before. There's no wrong answer to that question. I've had negative answers in the past and I've accepted them, but they've always had something in there that is beautifully put. And that, sir, was beautifully put. So
thank you, Luke. Thank you.
Thank you for being a wonderful guest on this episode. Again, people can find the links to your posts under here. There's links for you everywhere, but this won't be the last time you're on the show. I can't wait to speak with you more about this film in the future and the day when hopefully we can sit down together and talk about Superman for many, many hours into the night.
I look forward to that, Luke, very much.
Nick, thank you for being such a special guest, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.